Hello, and welcome to Weekend Watch, as a look at what's screening and streaming, brought to you by The Letterboxd Show. I'm Mitchell, he's Slim.
Hello.
And together we'll dig through what's dropping this weekend, last weekend, recent trends on Letterboxd, and we'll also take a peek at our own watch list, all under 30 minutes, or Lee Pace will no longer be 6'5".
Mitchell, this could be the biggest episode we've ever done. Aubrey Plaza in Emily the Criminal, feudal rock music with Inuo, and streaming on Netflix, Day Shift with Jamie Foxx. A few limited releases and a giant one on Netflix. But first, this episode is sponsored by our friends at Mubi, a curated streaming service showing exceptional films from around the globe. Every day, Mubi premieres a new film from iconic directors to emerging auteurs. And I know you're a big fan. There's always something to discover on Mubi.
Yes, Slim, you know I love Mubi, but did you know that Mubi also has a podcast?
I did.
Well, their acclaimed audio documentary series Mubi Podcast returned this summer for its second season. This time, the focus is on movie theaters, because in a time when too many cinemas are shutting down, Mubi thinks it's time to lift them up. This season is called Only in Theaters, and it tells surprising stories of individual movie theaters that had a huge impact on film history, and in some cases, history in general. Listen to the latest season of the Mubi Podcast in whatever app you're using right now.
The most recent app is focused on the George Eastman Museum's Dryden Theater in Rochester, New York, with the Nitrate Picture Show, maybe the one of the coolest names ever. But you can start watching movies on Mubi free for 90 days at mubi.com/letterbox. That's mubi.com/letterbox for 3 months of great cinema for free.
Absolutely worth it. Speaking of great cinema, let's dive right into this week's releases, starting with Aubrey Plaza doing some crime in Emily the Criminal, directed by John Patton Ford, releasing in limited theaters. It's on 22,000 watch lists. Emily, who is saddled with student debt and locked out of the job market due to a minor criminal record, gets involved in a credit card scam that pulls her into the criminal underworld of Los Angeles, ultimately leading to deadly consequences. Slim, what's your vibes? What do you feel about Emily the Criminal?
Who among us haven't gotten pulled into a credit card scam? Either doing the scamming or getting scammed.
Listen, it happens. It happens to everybody. We can all relate to the movie.
You're just trying to get by, okay? I'm not judging anyone who does these scams.
I'm off the grid. I'm off the grid at this point. I don't trust
I sent you a Facebook link today, and there were some strange characters that appeared, and you refused to click it because you thought you were going to get fished.
I'm not clicking it. I'm not clicking links.
I love Aubrey Plaza. I love this movie. This was tense as all get out. What did you think?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the movie. It was my favorite movie from Sundance this year. Aubrey Plaza, always down to represent Delaware's own. I've been living in Delaware for decades now. So Aubrey Plaza is our queen. We worship at the altar of Aubrey. I think this is her best performance so far. I think it's like her most fully realized performance. It kind of feels like the thing that she was like made to do. Like she feels so at home in this kind of story of, it's like super reminiscent to me of those like 70s and 80s working class thrillers, like Straight Time and like Blue Collar that I really love. And that like, I feel like taking crippling student loan debt as a motivation for someone breaking bad is like such a smart and interesting move into like that kind of underworld crime scene that we get into with the movie.
I love Aubrey, but I think I'm guilty, as many people are, of just remembering Parks and Rec. Like, oh yeah, Aubrey Plaza, Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
But this movie, like, I'm late to the general theatrical Aubrey game. And I'm like, oh, hell yeah, she is amazing in this movie. I want to see more Aubrey in movies just like this. And it goes in directions that I wasn't expecting really positively. Like, I really love the twists and turns in this movie. And Tyler left a Letterboxd review. If Aubrey Plaza tased me, I'd honestly be okay with it. Me too.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all can agree. We got a review from Paulo Yama as well. I love movies like this about someone who sort of stumbles into criminal activity and can't turn back. The movie does this clever thing of making it all seem a little scary, but mostly interesting. And like Emily, you feel compelled to dig deeper into it, which is a thing that I really loved about it too. Like, it's it is, there's like a lot of tension, but she also very quickly kind of adapts to this world and like becomes like at one with it. And she starts like finding that she's pretty skilled at being a criminal. It's not like she's just like, she is in over her head, but she's also like finding her footing there and like thriving in it too, which is a really interesting kind of narrative to take with it.
Speaking of thriving, you were thriving talking with Aubrey last week. Maybe Aubrey will leave us a voicemail next week. Who knows, right?
Very true. This is very true. Aubrey Plaza and I, very good friends. We're going to hang out at Brouhaha in Delaware. It's all arranged. We're just hanging out now.
Just think of me when you're hanging out with Aubrey. You know, think about how I would have loved to have been there too.
We're just going to talk. It's just going to be talking about you the whole time. She's a big fan. She told me she's a big fan. She said,
I knew it. I freaking knew it, Mitchell. Our next movie this week coming in limited theaters from Misaki Yuasa, Inuo, 12,000 watch lists. Born to an esteemed family, Inuo is afflicted with an ancient curse that has left him on the margins of society. When he meets the blind musician Tomana, a young Biwa priest haunted by his past, Inuo discovers a captivating ability to dance. The pair quickly become business partners and inseparable friends as crowds flock to their electric, larger-than-life concerts. I have not seen this yet, but I watched the trailer. The trailer looks nuts. It's like feudal Japan, rock music, heavy metal, dancing. And you have seen this. Is that the whole movie? It looks insane.
Yeah, it's really wild. I watched it this morning before we started recording, and like it really like takes, it starts off with you thinking that it's going to be like one thing, and then it like develops into a totally different thing and like just really keeps you on your feet. And this is a movie that like people have been talking about. Like I've been seeing people talking about it for such a long time. Like people have been so hyped for it. Our own Letterboxd animation correspondent Campbell A. Campbell has been like really hyping it up, like concluding it in several of his like animation preview stories of like the animation, like the animated movies to look out for. And like people have been super, super stoked about it. The music is like unbelievable. It definitely keeps you rocking. And I think that that's like my biggest takeaway from it was just this appreciation of like the timeless power of storytelling through music and how music has really like that universal quality to it. And a lot of people on Letterboxd have been really hyping it up too. Esther Rosenfeld's review says, absolutely spectacular. I think my favorite Yuasa is still Devilman Crybaby, but this is his most stylistically sophisticated work to date. Certain visual touches, specifically the way the film depicts the perspectives of blind characters, are just ingenious, and the performance sequences only get more and more breathtaking as the film goes on.
Sheesh. Who's the most famous musician to come out of Delaware?
Yeah, that's a good question.
We'll let you simmer on that one. Alicia Haddock also left a review.
There's
a
psych- Biden.
Joe Biden. Oh, what, does he play the harmonica? My God. Alicia Haddock left a review. There's a psychedelic beauty to how Yuasa has transformed his unique creative style into a condensed form of how music and performance can transform and condense the art of storytelling. So very positive vibes through this animation. And to be honest, we don't really have yet to spotlight an animated movie in the weekend watch list, I don't think. So hopefully people can find this in the limited release that it has and check it out.
Stephen Marley, son of Bob Marley, was born in Wilmington, Delaware. That's when you Google most famous musician from Delaware. That's the first thing that comes up.
Thank you, Google.
Our next film takes us back to LA, not with Emily the Criminal, but with Jamie Foxx, the Vampire Hunter. In Day Shift, coming out on Netflix on 4,000 watch lists from director J.J. Perry, the synopsis, an L.A. vampire hunter has a week to come up with the cash to pay for his kid's tuition and braces. Trying to make a living these days just might kill him. Slim, if your son needed tuition and braces, how many vampires would you kill?
I mean, I'd probably also start credit card scamming vampires. Just like
maybe
Emily's,
maybe the
combine
easier
both.
Yeah.
So full disclosure, I didn't even know this movie was coming out until this week on Netflix. It's just bonkers. This looks a super expensive Netflix movie, Jamie Foxx vampire movie. Like, why aren't we talking about this more? I had fun watching this. I was surprised. I'm a huge Dave Franco fan from his Madden commercial days. He plays kind of like the nerdy assistant of Jamie Foxx in this. So like there's a vampire hunting union that Jamie Foxx gets kicked out of. He's like begging to come back to pay for the bills for his daughter. The stunts are wild. This is directed by a seasoned stuntman, stunt coordinator. I think this is his first theatrical directorial movie. And there's one stunt in this movie that is so absurd. And then there's also a scene where a character lights their finger on fire to light a cigarette. One of the most bonkers scenes of the year that I think I've seen. What did you think?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I'm a big Jamie Foxx fan in general. I think he's like a super charismatic actor. I really like, he has like a presence that I think is super unique and I enjoy watching. And yeah, I like you. I feel like Netflix has been slacking a little bit on the promotion for this one. I don't know. They're putting all the chips in that gray man, basket. But I think this is a lot of fun. The opening scene, so I had like very little expectations going into it. And the opening scene is this like bonkers action sequence with Jamie Foxx shotgun blasting the heck out of this old lady who turns out to be a vampire, which then becomes this like nuts fight sequence between the two of them that's like using like ragdoll kind of like techniques. He's just like slamming her into like all throughout this house. Like her body is just becoming like completely twisted and gnarled. Like it's just so immediately I was like, this movie is very different than what I was expecting it to be. And yeah, I think it's just a really like fun ride to go on.
Great weekend movie. That's what the show's all about.
Great weekend movie. Great summer movie. I wish that I could have seen this in like a theater in the middle of the day on a Saturday or something.
Mm-hmm. Fake Rob Hunter left a review. It's a blast. Comedy works more often than not.
Yeah.
I'm in for this franchise. Rob using the fabled F word on a Netflix movie franchise.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see.
Honestly, though, I would watch a sequel for this one.
I would. The way that this ends, I'm pretty in for this. Lightning Round Spotlight, Girl Picture is also out in limited theaters this week. Ali Hapasala, 9,000 watch lists. Mimi, Emma, and Ronco are girls at the cusp of womanhood trying to draw their own contours. In three consecutive Fridays, two of them experience the earth-moving effects of falling in love, while the third goes on a quest to find something they've never experienced before, pleasure. This is just another release that we wanted to spotlight. It's not, you know, the kind of Netflix fare, but we want to try to change it up a little bit, show different genres, ones that maybe aren't on your watch list, and this is definitely one of those.
Yeah, I just want to shout out a quick review from Mariah, who said, who saw this film at Sundance, called it her favorite film, Sundance. Mariah said, set over three weekends, this jubilant Finnish coming-of-age film is unabashedly girly, horny, romantic, and fun. What else do you need?
Checks all the boxes right there. Last week, let's just get right into it. The Heat 4K. Can we just talk about the Heat 4K that you probably bought and have?
Big Heat week. Heat finally on 4K. I got mine in the mail a couple days ago. It's beautiful. I got the Best Buy exclusive steelbook. It is just, I look at it every day. Heat 2, the novel, also out. It's just Heat week here.
How about Michael Mann teasing Heat 2 like every other day on Twitter? I mean, how far off is this movie, right? Is he that deep into it?
Is he using that Twitter himself? Does he have somebody doing it? Does he know how to use the tweets?
You know Michael Mann knows how to do the tweets. He's on there. He's liking tweets probably. He's quote tweeting. He's doing everything he can. Checks,
he looks at the Letterboxd Instagram. We know this. He follows us.
We have confirmed.
Michael Mann, come on the show, buddy.
One thing I want to call out is Prey. Hit Hulu last week. We set the tone last week. We told folks, you got to get on this Prey. And we appreciate everyone tagging their reviews weekend watch list. There was like 7 pages of Letterboxd reviews with Prey talk. Everyone loved Prey. I think it's sitting at a 3.7 average on Letterboxd. So one quick review I'll spotlight. Prey should be a star-making feature for Amber. She's incredible in this. The fact that Disney chose to only release this on Hulu is infuriating, but expected. The filmmaking is perfection. I'm so glad they got permission to film on First Nation lands and utilize the natural lighting and landscape so beautifully. Imagine getting to see that on the big screen. I agree. Would love to see this in theaters.
Yeah, I think, you know, the last week we've been seeing tweets from Bill Duke, original Predator star, from Jesse the Body Ventura, original Predator star, just giving big praise for Prey and for Amber. And I think, you know, probably they listened to the show, and that's the reason that Bill and Jesse checked it out. They're big fans, are always talking about weekend watch lists. So we're getting the Prey army started.
Bill, come on the show. We know that's you on those tweets. You're doing the quote tweets.
He's tweeting them out.
What else did you want to spotlight?
One film we haven't gotten the chance to talk about on the show yet is 13 Lives, the new film from Ron Howard. It's out on Amazon Prime Video right now, and it kind of rules. I was worried the film would be a little dull releasing so soon after the documentary The Rescue, which tells the same story of 12 boys and the coach of a Thai soccer team getting trapped in a cave, you know, back a few years ago, which was a story that kind of like was all over the news. And the rescue mission that was put together, like this international rescue mission that was put together to try and, you know, pull them out. And there is like a little bit of like, yeah, I just saw a movie about this story, but interestingly, despite this being a like narrative feature rather than a documentary, I found this film far more like restrained and more effective as a result. I recently rewatched Apollo 13, where I was thinking just about like how much that movie rules and how I wish Ron Howard would do more movies like that, that are just like him focusing on people just kind of getting in there, doing a job and like doing it well and not being like very like pouring on like the saccharine and like the, you know, the emotionality and the like emotional manipulation of like movie making with like the big score and stuff. And like, you would think Ron Howard directing a movie about this story would be that, but yeah, it's more in that Apollo 13 vein where it really is just like nose to the grindstone, people just having a mission that's really admirable and just like getting it done. Have you checked out 13 Lives yet?
No, I was of the same mind. Like when this trailer came out, I kind of like maybe pushed it aside like, oh, Ron Howard doing a whatever.
Yeah.
But then when you were mentioning like this could be his best film since Apollo 13 or A Beautiful Mind, I was like, Mitchell, what is going on here? You credit card scamming me right now? And then I'll add this to my watch list for sure, because otherwise it wasn't really there. But it has a great cast.
Great cast, and
maybe that could just be because like Amazon Prime, you know, maybe it's a movie debuting there. And I'm like, I don't know, maybe I'll check it out at some point, but it's definitely further up my list now.
Gemma checked it out, where she says, if you have seen The Rescue, and you should, you'll understand why old Colin Farrell and pals play it so understated here. Takes a certain personality to wetsuit up and wiggle along narrow, wet, dark, bumpy passageways for hours on end for fun, let alone for life-saving reasons, and takes a certain kind of director to helm an anti-action action movie, a solid Ron Howard joint.
He's back.
He's back. We're doing it, Ron. No more hillbilly elegies here.
I forgot about that movie. I already blocked it out. Bodies, Bodies, Bodies is released wide this week. Helena Rain. So if you heard some buzz last week, we talked about Lee Pace potentially leaving a voicemail on this show, quote unquote voicemail. And Mia asked him about some horror movies he might have watched and the cast as well. So you'll hear from Chase We Wonders. But what movies did they see early on that maybe they shouldn't have? So let's hear from Lee and friends.
See, I was like a kid around the time of like Nightmare on Elm Street, like the Freddy Krueger movies, like that whole age of like cheap, super violent, evil horror movies. So I remember those were very popular when I was a kid and nightmare causing.
I saw The Fifth Element, which is not a traditional horror movie, but the blue lady in The Fifth Element, if anyone remembers her, stayed in my mind for 5 years straight. Very traumatizing.
Isn't it her name Pava Laguna?
I love that
you just mentioned that movie. It's one of my favorite movies.
It's a great film. I was so scared of her.
I saw, not that this was a real voicemail, so I didn't see video, but I watched the video of Lee talking about The Fifth Element. Lee was in love with that movie. I've never seen such love on a man's face. So thanks for the VM, Lee. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with Lee that I saw Nightmare on Elm Street too young, and Freddy Krueger gave me very severe nightmares. But also the movie Dennis the Menace starring Walter Matthau, I saw that when I was really young, and that also gave me nightmares. So I was a troubled child.
Bianca left a review for Bodies, 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 so I'll read. Haven't laughed this much in a long time. A loving, searing satire of youth culture that is tons of fun and kept me guessing throughout. The whole cast works so well together. So people are loving Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
Yeah, everybody loving Rachel Sennett in there too. Our Shiva baby queen getting the spotlight she deserves. Get out and see Bodies, Bodies, Bodies in theaters now. Wide. Do it.
Do we have time to spotlight Bullet Train? 3.6 average, which I was not expecting based on some of my friends' reviews. That's pretty high.
That is pretty high.
Robert Lefter, our cartoonish cross between Tarantino and Guy Ritchie. Goofy and nothing new, but still fun times.
And I have to shout out, my mother works for this luggage company, Tumi, who made the briefcase that is in Bullet Train, their 19-degree aluminum attaché case. They are, Tumi, very hyped about it. My mom let me know that they sent all of the employees $25 Fandango gift cards so that everybody could go see Bullet Train in theaters. So that 3.6 Letterboxd average, that's that Tumi. That's that Tumi tick up happening
the
there.
Tumi tick up. Trademark. Oh my God. Attaché might be like top three favorite words in the English language. I love that word.
Unfortunately, no real updates this week on the Letterboxd top 50 of 2022 list. Prey did not make the cut.
Gonna throw up.
Let's get more Prey ratings in there. Let's get more Prey hype in there.
Please.
Brutal.
Let's head to our watch list. This is the final segment of the episode. We shuffle our watch list together, so that kind of helps us guide what we're going to watch this week. So last time we were on this show, I shuffled and got The Perfume of the Lady in Black. And this was on my watch list. My buddies on Bat and Spider did this. They focus on this movie, Giallo. You ever heard of these Giallo movies? Giallo type Italian movies where it's like a mystery, maybe supernatural stuff involved. There's usually a detective kind of deal. But in this movie, the lead actor is having hallucinations of her past. Her mother committed suicide and she starts having these memories of walking in on her mother having an affair. A lot of gyrations in the sex scene, by the way, felt very NC-17. But at the same time, her friends, her quote unquote friends, are acting very strange. Maybe they're involved with some of these hallucinations. It had a shocking ending that at the time was probably really shocking, but having watched a bunch of filth in the years since this movie came out, it wasn't as shocking to me. It was like 2 hours of her going through hell and wondering if she was insane, which was a bit of a drain, but I liked it. I gave it 3 stars.
Honestly, 2 hours of going through hell and wondering if you're insane, kind of relatable. You know what I'm saying? little relatable there.
The Perfume of the Mitchell in Black. That'll be your movie.
That's a new movie. My movie that I got last time I did the Watch the Shuffle was Wake in Fright, a movie I was very excited about. Lived up to all of its hype as Ozploitation After Hours. The film's about a bonded teacher in Australia who plans a trip to Sydney to see his girlfriend over Christmas holidays, but he's got an overnight stop in Bundanyaba, and that night stretches into the morning and the next night and the next day and so on and so on. It is like a merciless, I mean, two hours in hell. Like, this movie is absolutely merciless. It's like a fever nightmare, like you can't wake up from, occasionally offering you some like fruit of temptation only to pull it away and drop you into literally a puddle of your own vomit. There's like sex, violence, gore, debauchery, and none of it feels good. It's just like soul rotting for 2 hours. That makes you want to take a shower after it's over. I loved it. 5 stars.
We need like a logo of like the Mitchell thumbs up on like the corner box of like a box art when they're like, that's the quote. Oh my God. Unreal. Let's spotlight some friends that left reviews this week, tagged it weekend watch list. We appreciate everyone doing that. There are so many this week. So apologies if we couldn't get to yours. Mason left an Eraserhead review. Pretty convincing argument for never having kids.
Yeah, true. Eraserhead, you get a very particular read on that movie when you watch it, knowing that David Lynch, like, the idea for it came from his conflicts over becoming a father and like his own mental space. Really, really, really makes you think. Uh-huh. I want to spotlight Sally Jane Black's review of The Vanishing Lion, where Sally Jane says, a blend of history and fate, past and present, as symbolism and foreshadowing. Agnes Varda melds genres easily, but the strength of this is more than artistry, it is charm. For someone who made fiery political documentaries and riveting tragedies, she could do charming better than anyone. Or maybe I am biased because of how many cats are in her films.
Oh boy, let's see. Love Song got tagged this week. Brian Lai left a review. Age may change how we look like on the outside, but it does very little on the human soul. We get wiser, perhaps a bit more jaded, but within every one of us is a youthful spirit searching for love, longing, and peace. Neo-Westerns are fast becoming some of the most visually striking films to emerge from the U.S., depicting these grand rolling landscapes with a certain solitude to its understated beauty. It may not be the final frontier, but it's perhaps the final escape.
Definitely
what a review.
That's a great review. Definitely check out A Love Song. One last one we'll shout out. Liam's review of The Seventh Seal feels like a movie I should love, but just don't. That doesn't mean I don't like it. Far from that. It's just that it is not what I expected something like this to be. I'll definitely be watching this again one day, but for now, it's just not for me all that much. Do really enjoy it, but if I need to pick between this and Persona, I'm choosing Persona every time. Slim, Persona or Seventh Seal?
I haven't seen either, believe it or not. Both on my watch list, though. Persona has been chilling there for quite some time. Maybe I'm going to roll it right now.
That was about a perfect segue.
Maybe
perfect.
I'm going to roll it. All right, so let's head to your watch list. I'm going to filter my service by stream only, make it easy for me. And then I'm going to head to sort, and then I'm going to hit shuffle. And that's the movie I have to watch before I'm next on this episode. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Chan is missing. 1982, Wayne Wang. Two cabbies search San Francisco's Chinatown for a mysterious character who has disappeared with their $4,000. Their quest leads them on a humorous, if mundane, journey, which illuminates the many problems experienced by Chinese Americans trying to assimilate into contemporary American society. I see a 4.5-star review from Mitchell on this movie.
Hell yeah. Yeah. I watched that for the first time earlier this year. Knowing that it got a Criterion release on Blu-ray this year, which is really rad. It's a phenomenal movie. I didn't really know much going into it other than like Wayne Wang I know from Smoke and The Joy Luck Club, but I didn't know that much about the movie. And yeah, it's just gorgeous. It's really, really funny. It's really interesting. Super stoked to see what you think about that one.
It's on Criterion Channel. If anyone wants to watch along with me, tag your review weekend watch list.
Let's see what I've got. Okay, here we go. Hard Times, 1975, directed by Walter Hill, the man. Tagline, New Orleans, 1933. In those days, words didn't say much. The synopsis, In the Depression, Chaney, a strong, silent street fighter, joins with Speed, a promoter of no-holds-barred street boxing bouts. They go to New Orleans, where Speed borrows money to set up fights for Chaney, but Speed gambles away any winnings. Love. Oh, James Coburn is playing Speed? Come on. Love a character named Speed.
Charles Bronson looks incredible on this poster.
Super
this
excited.
Is a poster
Walter
Hill's, half.
Walter Hill's first movie. Fantastic poster. I'm very excited to check this out. It is streaming on Tubi for anybody who maybe wants to check this out.
Tubi Army.
Well.
I'm actually seeing a Sean Baker review back when Sean left some notes on their watches. Found it more engaging than I remember. James Coburn steals the show. Sean Baker. Okay.
There you go.
You know Sean Baker probably has this amazing poster somewhere framed in his house. Poster nut.
Probably. Give me that poster, Sean.
Thank you so much for listening to Weekend Watchlist, brought to you by The Letterbox Show. You can follow Mitchell, Slim, that's me, and our HQ page on Letterboxd using the links in our episode notes. Don't forget to take advantage of that movie free code. If you had the time, maybe consider rating the podcast on Spotify or leaving a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It helps spread the word about the show. And by the way, we'll have the movie discount code linked in the episode notes.
Thanks to our crew, and thanks to Letterboxd member Trent Wallen for the theme music, Eyes On. Thanks to Jack for the facts, and Sophie Shin for the episode transcript, and most of all to you for listening. Weekend Watchlist is a Tape Deck production.
This is a Tape Deck podcast.